السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفیٰ صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد، فقد قال اللہ تبارک و تعالی فی القرآن المجید، اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، ربنا وبعث فیہم رسولا منہم یتلو علیہم آیاتک ویعلمہم الکتاب والحکمت ویزکیہم انک انت العزیز الحکیم. صدق اللہ العظیم. الحمدللہ، فضل کرم احسان اف اللہ تعالی، اللہ رب العزت is allowing for us to sit in his house to make some mudhakara or some aspect of this beautiful deen that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. So this ayat kareema that we recited, this is actually the dua of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, when Allah Ta'ala told him to leave his wife, his son in Makkah Mukarramah. And Ibrahim alayhi salam made different du'as at different times. One of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's du'as, he said, "O Allah, send amongst them a Rasul. And this Rasul, yatlu alayhim ayatik, he will read to them your verses." So the ulama explained that this refers to the reading of the Quran Sharif, the correct recital of the Quran Sharif. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. So this is now the deeper understanding of the meaning of the Quran Sharif. وَالْحِكْمَةِ. The sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not the topic for tonight. But with regards to the sunnah, this is something that is very, very important in our life. In this zamana, people try to downplay the sunnah. And they do it in a very flowery way. For example, currently, we all know what is happening in Gaza. We know what is happening in other parts of the world. So you'll hear people say things, or they send out messages, etc. Whether these messages are initially made by kuffar also, we don't know. And then it gains momentum in the circles of Muslims. So they make a message like, so many million people passed away, so many million people are refugees, so many million people are in prisons, so many million Muslims, no education, all things like that. And then what they'll say, and we still trying to figure out whether we must wear our pants above the ankle or below the ankle. The scholars are still arguing over whether it's 8 rakats taraweeh and 20 rakats taraweeh. Whether you have to keep a beard or you don't have to keep a beard. Whether ladies can come in the masjid or can't come in the masjid. Things like that. So, the sunnah, if it was such a trivial thing, such a small thing, one is if we not making amal. There may be many sunnats is not in my life. Some sunnats may not be in your life. So that's our own weakness. But to trivialize the whole sunnat and say, no, we are all talking about these things when there's such big things to worry about in the world. So in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they too were fighting wars. There were big things happening. They too were exiled. They too had to leave their hometown. So many were becoming shaheed. All these things were happening. Even in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muslims were taken as prisoner, etc. But yet, despite all that happening, at every moment Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is establishing this sunnah, that sunnah, that sunnah. If any sahabi is not on that sunnah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reprimanding him. If he sees any neglect, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is bringing it to the attention, because it was a zamana of tarbiyat, right? So if these were not big things, then why would Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam pay so much of attention to it? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have said, hey, now we're busy with war and we're busy with all these things, or leave all these small things one side. No. Even in the jihad itself also, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still teaching, still reprimanding, still highlighting that this is our way. So much so, imagine a thing like this. It's a very famous, you know, whenever it's Muharram, now it's not Muharram, but whenever it comes to that day of Ashura, so always we hear this, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oppose the Yahud and fast 2 days, either the 9th and the 10th or the 10th and the 11th. Now even in an ibadat also, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't want us to have any semblance to the Yahud. Our ibadat also must be different. Now Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have said, well, no, they fasting, that's their problem, we are also fasting. But no, even there Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted that there must be a distinction. So never ever in our life, Allah protect us. One is, as I said, our weakness. There may be many sunnats that we're not making amal upon. That's our weakness. We must make dua to Allah Ta'ala, and we mustn't judge anybody. Don't look down on anybody. Don't judge anybody. Because sometime there may be a certain sunnat that I'm practicing on. Somebody else may not be practicing on that particular sunnat. I'm looking down on him because I can't see that one sunnat in his life. But there may be 50 other sunnats that he's making amal upon, which I'm not making amal upon. Today, Asr time, I was reading namaz next to one brother. So outwardly, this person is not wearing no kurta, right? But when he came up from ruku, he is reading the full tahmid. Normally we'll say Rabbana wa lakal hamd wa Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd. So he was reading the full tahmid. Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd, hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. Now how many of us make amal upon that? So many of us in our namaz, we just want to get done. The shortest thing what we can recite, we recite, finish. Here is this person, he's reading namaz, and he's taking his time and he's making the tahmid. He's praising Allah Ta'ala in the qawma. That one action of his can get him jannat. So we can't judge anybody. So we don't look down on anybody. But never ever must we trivialize a sunnat. If I'm not making amal on a sunnat, I must regard it as my weakness. The sunnat is great. I'm supposed to be doing that. But I'm not making amal is my weakness. But never ever trivialize it. That, oh, there's just a sunnat. What are you making a big story about that now? Then I'm now looking down on a sunnat. And if I look down on a sunnat, then Allah forbid, what can be my condition? The action of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can never look down on it. So that is wal hikmah. And then the fourth thing is وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, that this Rasul, this messenger must purify them. Must purify them. Tazkiyah must take place. So when we talk about this tasawuf, khanka, taking bay'at to a sheikh, all this is to do with this fourth function of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that must purify our souls. Right? Now what is meant by purification? What is meant by purification? How are we going to purify ourselves? Many people, when it comes to the aspect of tasawuf, so some people think that tasawuf, you take bay'at to a sheikh, then after that you can start singing some naats and you can start making some zikr. And you have to change your topi, make your topi certain style, and make your kurta certain style. So that is tasawuf. That is not tasawuf. Dhikrullah, this is a protein, a vitamin, to strengthen our ruh. Dhikrullah, each and every person supposed to be making dhikrullah. So what is purification of the soul. So our Hazrat Moin Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he gave this one incident. Through these examples, we learn, right? We learn, we understand things. So he mentioned that there was a Shaykhul Hadith. Now, Shaykhul Hadith is not an ordinary person. Shaykhul Hadith is a person who is teaching Bukhari Sharif. Right? So, ilm, he's got a lot of knowledge. Right? A lot of knowledge. He understands Hadith Sharif. And he is teaching Bukhari Sharif. Right? That is now to the final year students, those who are becoming ulama, the final year students, what you will call, like, to call him a professor, you are insulting him. Shaykhul Hadith, if you say he is like a person who got a doctorate or a PhD or something, you're insulting him. Shaykhul Hadith is much higher than all of that. Right? So now a person like that, but look at his concern for the hereafter. Right? His concern for the hereafter. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has instructed us not to get angry. Meaning, we must not use our anger in the wrong place. Right? So now he is worried about this, that he gets angry. And when he gets angry, he loses it. Like he'll take off with a student, shout somebody, whatever. So now he goes to his sheikh. We're talking about what is tazkiyah. Now imagine the person is a Shaykhul Hadith. Now he's not thinking that, hey, I'm a Shaykhul Hadith, I'm teaching the Hadith every year to how many students. Now how am I going to go and tell my sheikh that I got this problem? What my sheikh will think of me? He's not worried about all of that. He is sincere, he wants to get rid of the spiritual sickness. So he goes to the sheikh and he says, no, I got this anger problem. So the sheikh gives him a prescription. Now to remove that anger or to control that anger, the sheikh tells him that, see, any time you get angry, you must hold the shoes of the person who you got angry with. The person you got angry with, hold his shoes and ask him for maafi. Ask him for forgiveness. Now imagine for a Shaykhul Hadith now, if he got angry with his student. Now he must go hold that student's shoes and he must ask him for maafi. Now how difficult this would be on the nafs. But he wanted a cure. He wanted a cure. So he followed through with the prescription. So he is acting upon this for a while. But he's seeing that he's still not overcoming this anger problem. So he writes again, his sheikh was Hazrat Moin Shabri Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. So he writes to him again, and he says, see, I'm making amal on this ilaj, but I'm not overcoming this problem. Now when it comes to us, and it comes to our physical bodies, then we become very concerned. We go to the doctor, this medicine is not helping, we'll go back. That dosage is incorrect, must change the dosage. Agar jism tera zara ho alil. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to read this couplet. Agar jism tera zara ho alil, hakimo ki sunta hai tu bedalil. Dawa talkh se talkh peeta hai tu. Khushamad tabibo ki karta hai tu. If your physical body, you got some ailment, then you listen to the doctors. You don't ask them for any proofs or anything. You listen to the doctors. Whatever they're saying, you listen to it. You know, the other day I was traveling. I'm just digressing a little bit. You see, the nafs is a very shrewd thing, you know. I was traveling the other day and I stopped at a place to read my salah. So I had started reading salah and some people came in after. So they were making wuzu, some of them were making wuzu or whatever. So the person who was going to make the imamat, right? So now, he's not wearing no topi. He's got short sleeves on. And his pants is beneath his ankle. And his beard also is not in accordance to how it's supposed to be, right? Well, those are his weaknesses. I got more weaknesses than him. Ramesh is explaining to you outward. But now he goes on the musalla and he makes an announcement to the people behind him. Now he is following the Hanafi madhab. It's not my intention to go into masla masail. But he makes an announcement from the musalla that I will be joining my Zohar namaz and Asr namaz. I'll be reading my Zohar namaz in the time of Zohar, and then I'll be joining my Asr namaz. So I'm thinking to myself, this is a very intricate masla. This masla in Hanafi mazhab is not allowed. You read Zohar in Zohar time, you read Asr in Asr time. In the Shafi mazhab, there is concession. You can join the two. If you are musafir only, you can join the two. But in the Hanafi mazhab is not allowed. I'm thinking to myself, this person is such an intricate masla, right? But he took the time out to learn that masla. Why? Well, that's easy on the nafs. To make amal on that is very easy on the nafs. But all the other masail which are so much more important, if we got our pants beneath the ankle, if it's our habit to wear our pants beneath the ankle, now if this thing was a small thing, then why will Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us that even on the night of 15 Shaban, which is coming up now in a month's time, even on that night, when Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness knows no bounds, Allah Ta'ala is just, in our language, a forgiving, wholesale forgiving. Everybody's gunas, Allah is forgiving. But it comes in the Hadith Sharif, Al-Musbil. The person whose lower garment is hanging beneath his ankle, then even on that night, Allah Ta'ala will not forgive him. And it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that Allah Pak will not look at the person. In other words, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will not look at the person with mercy. Allah will not purify that person. And that person will have a very painful punishment. So now, what a serious thing it is. Right? But those masail we never learn. But this intricate masla, that one we took the time out to learn it. Because that one is in accordance with our nafs. And these masail are going against our nafs. So these masail, leave it one side. Yet those are the easy masail, the straightforward masail. This jama bain as-salatain, the intricate story. You ask the people becoming alim, so that will come in their parcha, in the imtihan paper, they'll get asked that question. For now, there's a lot of explanation to be given. It's a very intricate masla. But that masla, we learnt it very fast. But all the other things, which is simple, straightforward, what we have to make amal upon, that one we never learn. So this is the nafs. The nafs sometimes, nafs and shaitan, nafs and shaitan, dono ne milkar, hai kiya hai mujhko tabah. Nafs and shaitan, they both ganged up against me to destroy me. Ey mere mola, meri madad kar. Oh my Allah, you help me. Chahta hoon main teri pana. I seek refuge in you. You help me from this nafs and shaitan. So coming back to this Shaykhul Hadith, so he is making amal on the prescription that his Shaykh gave him. But now he's finding that he's still not getting rid of the anger. So he wrote again towards the Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. He said, I'm making amal, but I still got a problem. So the Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali wrote back to him, he said to him, see, now if you get angry with anyone, you must take that person's shoes, you ask the person for maafi, you take his shoes, not the sole part, the other part. Take it, put on your head. Take the shoes and put on your head. So this person wrote back to Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. He said, the Hazrat, ye isi sakht ilaj hai. Ye khat parte hi. Ye bimari khatam ho gayi. He said that, Hazrat, this ilaj is so bitter that just reading this ilaj, the sickness has been cured. Sickness has been cured. So this is this process of tazkiyah. This is why a person becomes bay'at to a sheikh. Not only to invite the sheikh home, not only to attend the majlis, not only I want the sheikh must sit in my car, I make this khidmat, I travel to Hazrat and went there. Those things are all, the real thing is this islah, to put ourselves right. Anything that we're doing to consult the sheikh, right? I'm doing this like this, how must I do it, what must I do? And then what the sheikh tells us, we must implement it in our life. Then we will be progressing. We'll be progressing, we'll be cleansing, we'll be purifying. There was one incident, Hazrat Muhammadul Haq Magda Sahib mentioned, and Hazrat Muhammad Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned a similar incident, but a little bit different. This person, he was a miserly person. So the incident that Hazrat Muhammad Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, is this person wrote to his sheikh, and he said that I am miserly, very hard for me to put my hand in the pocket, you know, to take out and give somebody something. So the sheikh told him, he was a maldar person, a very wealthy person. The sheikh told him, see, you must take, like in our language now, you must take 100 rand. Take 100 rand. But now, if there 1 rand was still in a note, in the old days 1 rand was a note. Now is 1 rand is a small coin. In the old days 1 rand had some value also, so it was a note. So he told him, now you must take 100 rand, but in 1 rand notes, and go to the ocean and throw in the ocean, but one note at a time. One note at a time you must throw. So as he was going, he met somebody. So that person asked him, where are you going? So he said, no, my sheikh gave me this prescription, so I'm going to practice on it. So that person told him, no, but this is israf. Israf, how can you do this? He said, by you say what you want to say, I got my sheikh, he gave me this iraj, I'm going to do it. So he went and he threw that money in the ocean. So as he finished throwing the last note, so now the intention was right. I want to get rid of this bimari. The sheikh's intention was right. The murid's intention was right. Allah Ta'ala's help comes. So now this, he went through this process. And he says that immediately after that, he became a generous person. Now it was easy for him to give. So then he explained to the sheikh that, see, I met somebody on the way, and this is what they told me, but I don't worry about them. So the sheikh explained to him that, see, I could have told you that take 100 rand, go give it to some poor person. But that wouldn't have got rid of your bimari. You would have given the 100 rand, you would have patted yourself on the back, on your back. Yeah, give 100 rand. You felt very good because you're a stingy person. Now for you to take 100 rand and give somebody is like a very big thing for you. It would have made your situation worse. But now by you doing this, going through this process, that love of the wealth has left your heart. The stinginess has left your heart. Now how many hundreds you'll give to how many poor people now? Now you become generous now. Now so many people you'll be able to help. So the Shaykh, his responsibility is to remove those sicknesses. Those sicknesses from the heart, to remove it. And this taluk with the Shaykh, it is a personal taluk. What prescription may be good for one, may not be good for the other. Sometimes people are ignorant. People are ignorant. A person, he may have taken bay'at to the Shaykh. And he's got certain weaknesses in him. Now the Shaykh is going easy with him. Because he understands that I can't put this person through heavy spiritual exercises now. He's not ready for it. Right? Now for example, a person goes to the gym. And he got one personal trainer. So first day when he goes to the gym, I'm not saying he must go to the gym. But today the gym is a big place of fitna. So I'm not saying he must go to the gym. I'm just giving an example. So the person goes there to the gym. Now his personal trainer, not going to give him to start benching 100 kgs now. He start him off with 5 kg, see how he's going, then work him up 10 kg, 15 kg, 20 kg, build him up. As his muscle is building, his endurance is building, his stamina is building, so now you will increase the weight. So many people, they took bay'at to a Shaykh. Now, their situation is, they're not too exposed to dini situation. They may have not been in some, you know, institute or whatever. So the Shaykh also is going easy with them. He's not telling them too much. He's going easy with them. Right? Allowing certain things with the intention that, you know what, this man is involved in riba. This man is not even reading namaz. So I need to sort all those things out first. This person got aqaid problems. I need to sort those things out first. Then slowly we'll get to the other things. And in the interim, the Shaykh passed away. Now this person, what he says, no, but Hazrat never told us must give up this. Hazrat never tell us must give up that. Hazrat never say we must do like this. Remember, the Hazrat is not the Shariat. The Hazrat is the physician. He is not the Shariat. What the Hazrat say, he can't make something that is haram into halal, something that's halal into haram. He can't do all that. We may have had some weaknesses. Now, for example, I got one mosquito, right? If you're watching me now and you see there's one mosquito here, that's sitting on my hand, right? But on this side there's a scorpion, right? And behind there's a snake, and under there's a fire. Are you going to worry about the mosquito? You're not going to worry about the mosquito. You're going to worry about the more harmful things, right? So the Shaykh now was taking that person. Maybe got him out of riba. Maybe got him out of befardagi. Certain major things that were in his life. Got him out of, now he's taking him slowly, slowly. And in the interim, the Shaykh passed away. Now, where he got left, now he regards that as his Shariat now. No, but Hazrat, he didn't tell me I must give up this, I must give up that. So this is our weakness. It's our weakness. The Shariat is there. Shaykh sometime is taking a person slowly, slowly to bring him onto a level. The other thing is the prescription that the Shaykh gives to one murid is not necessarily the same prescription going to work for another person. It's famous incident, many mashayikh quote. there were two people, both had a smoking problem, cigarette problem. So the one person, he went to the sheikh and he asked, he said, "No, I got the smoking problem, want to give up." So the sheikh told him, "See, every time you want to smoke a cigarette, you must give 20 paisa in charity. 20 cent you give in charity. Then you can smoke the cigarette." So this person, he went to do that. In a short while, he gave up smoking. So when his friends saw that he gave up smoking, so the friend asked him, "How you gave it up?" He said, "No, Hazrat told me to do this." So he said, "Charo, let me also try the prescription." But weeks are going, he's not giving it up. So he told the friend, he said, "Your sheikh's prescription not working for me." He said, "Bhai, you go ask the sheikh yourself. Don't self-medicate. Go and find out what's the right medication for you." So when he went to the sheikh, he explained himself that, "See, I did what you told that person to do. I did the same thing, but it's not helping me." So the sheikh told him, "Yeah, that won't help you. Because you are a maldar person. For you, what is 20 cent? You can give 40 cent, 50 cent. You can pay an extra rand for every cigarette that you want to have. But that's not going to help you. So you, if you, every cigarette you smoke for the day, you must keep account. If you smoke 5 cigarettes, 8 cigarettes for the day, you keep account. After Isha, you must read 2 rakas namaz for every cigarette you smoke." So jaldi, he too gave it up. Then the one person, he went to tell the sheikh that he got a ujub problem, you know, vanity. But the sheikh told him, "No, when you go to the masjid, make everybody's shoes straight. So you get rid of that ujub." So the imam sahab of the masjid, he saw this person making all the shoes straight. So he said, "Shabash, bhai." But the person said, no, "When my sheikh told me to do this, so I'm just doing." So why your sheikh told you? He said, "No, because I've got ujub problem." So the imam sahab, he too is mukhlis, he too doesn't want ujub. So he said, "You know what? The sheikh told him to do, then I too rather also start putting everybody's shoes straight." When the Hazrat came to know that the imam sahab is doing this, then he called him and reprimanded him. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "No, you told that person must put the shoes straight." He said, "But if you put the shoes straight, you're going to get more pride. Because the people going to see the imam putting the shoes straight. You see, if a musalli put the shoes straight, they may tell him, 'Bhai, you didn't put it properly. Make it right. Who told you must touch my shoes?'" But if they see the imam putting the shoes straight, now everybody going to come tap the imam on the head. "What the imam we got? Oh, imam, look at his tawazu. He's putting the shoes straight." So he said, that will become a cause of more pride for you. He said, "What I must do?" See, you at home, when nobody is there, you must clean the toilet. Where nobody can see you in your house, clean the toilet. But there, if you clean the toilet too, your wife will tell you, you don't know how to clean the toilet too, you don't know. So there your ujub will come right. So this is what this, I'm not saying now, if sheikh, today the sheikh don't tell anybody to clean the toilet and all that. Don't do these things. But this tazkiyah. See, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw one sahabi, the zamana of tarbiyat, right? So the sahabi was wearing, he didn't know the masla, he didn't know, they were still learning, it was early days. So he was wearing a gold ring. Now gold is not allowed for men to wear golds. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the ring out and threw it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him that this gold, the men can't use this gold, no? Took it out and he threw it. So after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went away, so other sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, they told this person, they said, "See, you can pick the ring up. All Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to teach you is that men are not allowed to use this. But you can take it, you can sell it, you can use the money. You can take it, you can give it to some female in your family, she can make use of it. And whatever they were saying is correct." You see, this sahabi, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam threw that ring, right? You see us, right? We are caught up in certain fashion trends, certain styles, whether it's with our hair, whether whatever it may be. And no matter how many times we hear bayans about it, we love it so much. We love it so much. We just can't change it. We make 50 excuses and we can't give that thing up. Now this sahabi, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam removed that ring and threw it, now they're telling him, no, you can pick it up. So what he said, I will never pick up that thing which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam threw. No matter how valuable the thing can be, if Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took it and threw it, I'll never pick it up. So that action of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, outwardly it looked like it removed the ring from the finger. But in reality, there was an operation taking place. It removed the love of that thing from the heart. The love of that thing was removed from the heart. Understand? So this is this process of Islam, which is not something that's an extra. We'll conclude on this. That this dua that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made. So tazkiya is mentioned in the end. وَيُزَكِّهِمْ. When Allah Ta'ala accepted the dua, then Allah Ta'ala said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ. Phir, وَيُزَكِّهِمْ. You see, when Ibrahim alayhi salam made the dua, he mentioned وَيُزَكِّهِمْ in the end. When Allah Ta'ala accepted the dua, Allah Ta'ala mentioned وَيُزَكِّهِمْ second position, to show the importance of this tazkiyah. The tazkiyah is not there. A lot of things in our life will go off. Today, when tazkiyah is not there, you see, when tazkiyah is not there, the love of the world comes in the heart. The love for fame comes in the heart. The love for wealth comes in the heart. Now just look at it today. Forget actions. Right? Iman is going. Iman is going. When a person now falls in love with the world, falls in love with fame, falls in love, then just see what people are doing today. This interfaith business, very, very big fitna. Very, very big fitna. I don't know if you people heard. I think it was the last Jummah, that some reverend was brought from Palestine to give Jummah talk in a masjid. A reverend, what can you bring him in a masjid, Jummah time to give a talk? And then what the reverend is saying, no, we all one. And the sheikh of, whether he's the sheikh of the masjid or he's the sheikh of the town, he too is saying the same thing. We are all one. And the host who brought the reverend, he too is saying, no, we all one. Hindus, Muslim, Christian, it was all one. So if all these religions were one, then why Allah Ta'ala is telling us in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tattakhidhu al-yahuda wal-nasara awliya. O you who have brought iman, do not take the Yahud, the Jew and the Christian as your friends. Another place Allah Ta'ala is saying, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. You will find the people who got the most severe enmity towards the believers are the Jews and the idolaters. And then if all these things were the same, why must we do da'wah then? Why Allah Ta'ala say, اُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ? What was the whole need then? To send the Anbiya alayhimus salam, to call people to Islam. What was the need? They said, everybody right, just stay wherever you are. Everybody just do their own thing. Can't be like that. So when our tazkiyah is not made, then see where we'll end up. Because iman is going. Some time back there was some program or something, some years ago, and in that program, then they brought one comedian. And the comedian was mocking a sahabi. He was mocking the sahaba. These kind of things are happening now in our zamana. What's going to happen in our children's time, in our grandchildren's time? So this holding on to our akabirin, our mashayikh, going through this process of tazkiyatun nafs is of paramount importance. It's not an extra thing. It's a primary thing. Very, very important. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في أرض الإسلام اللهم انصر المسلمين في غزة وفي كل مكان وفي السودان وفي الصومال وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء ونسألك برد العيش بعد الموت ونسألك لذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاء ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.